Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hulkamania is more powerful than their stinking promotion, and it's stupid, and I don't miss Vince anyway, because he's rubbish!
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
The Cult Holic Classic Night Show Review. It's me, Tom Campbell.
I just love that the first thing that happens when people get their cars on the go, they get in the car in the morning, like, oh, I'm going to listen to the Nitro review for some reason. And they put it on, and then the first thing you hear is,
they know by now.
It's like, do you start the other one with, welcome everywhere?
I do. So, yeah. And then the SmackDown review starts quite low key.
Vince is like, I don't know how I destroyed my voice box.
Welcome everyone. I don't know what they're talking about. My name's Tom. That is WCW boy Sam Driver, who has come back in time with me to a time less forgotten.
God, if 5 year old me could see me right now, he would just shake his head.
I genuinely think that the young Tom would be like, so let me get this straight. You get to watch old episodes of Raw and it's part of your job. Oh,
he'd love that. He'd just look at me and be like, why aren't you like muscly and famous?
That's exactly what my past self would say.
Are you at least rich? Nobody, no.
But I'm muscly and famous.
The kid just walks off. It's just disillusioned. They said there was just a distinct point in my childhood where I stopped smiling. That was probably it.
With bringing the hubris, Sam Driver's with us today. He's reflecting on times gone by. We're recording this a week. We're not even recording this a week later. Literally, we've pressed stop on the last episode of Nitro.
We fetched ourselves a nice can of...
That's true.
Pepsi Max.
Oh, there you go. Please sponsor us.
Yeah, if you could sponsor us. I mean, we did Coca-Cola before and they didn't... I mean, we didn't really pitch out Coca-Cola, but, you know, we... Big fan of Pepsi.
Sponsored by Dreamy's Cat Snacks.
Oh, God, that would be so handy. That would be so handy.
I'd be up for getting a pet sponsorship.
Yeah. Have you got those big drums of Dreamy's? Like the industrial-sized packs?
I buy the big ones now because he gets through quite a bit. I have a tendency because when I leave in the morning and he gives me the sad cat eyes.
Yeah.
You're leaving again.
He knows what you're doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
You're a new cat owner, aren't you? We've not really talked about
Cooper. I've had cats before in my life. So, like, grew up with cats and dogs. So this is, Cooper. Cooper's doing cool. He can't quite work out water. I don't know what it is. If there's something in the cup, he wants it. Doesn't give a shit what it is. He just wants it. So he'll just go stick his whole paw in your glass of water and be like... And then... If you can't quite get it, if it's like only half full, he'll just knock it over, as cats do. But like I then had a big clear glass bottle that I filled up with cold water and I put it down. Took a drink out of it, put it down, and he was just transfixed. So he's like, oh, there's water there. But it's like he couldn't work out the glass existed. He was just like pawing at it. And he was like, huh?
Oh, bless him.
And then he's like trying to lick it. It's just... Huh? It's like, the water's in it, but it's see-through.
I want the water. There's
you
magic.
Have a bowl full of water, but I want yours.
Oh, they always, oh, that's it. That's it. It's, you know, as once again, you'll start, you'll relearn as a former cat owner, cat owner.
Yeah.
You'll relearn the sheer joy that of them sat at the food bowl with a bowl of dry food, a bowl of wet food, and a bowl of water. And he'll look at me going, fine, then I will starve.
It's that.
This is how I die.
That and having to tuck your feet, regardless of the temperature, regardless of the humidity of the evening, regardless of the tog count. You gotta tuck your feet, otherwise they're just done. Your toes
are
done.
Does he go for your toes?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Our boy doesn't do that.
Be at the top of the stairs, and a little bugger will just fucking grab your foot, and you're like, "Whoa!" Like carrying shit.
Pablo will do a thing where if we're in the bed, he'll go onto the inverted either on Alex's feet or my feet, and he'll just start baking. He'll start massaging, like trying to express.
It's a comfort thing.
It's a comfort thing. So you'll do that there on the odd occasion. But he doesn't attack feet.
I wouldn't say attack. Yeah. He just goes to like give your foot a high five.
Oh.
But like, he's a pretty big lad. So when he gives your foot a high five, it does kind of knock you a bit while you're mid-step and trying not to step on him. And you're like, hey!
My favorite thing is that he'll do the thing where he'll go. You ever had the cat trap? Where like you'll lie on his tummy as if God, I'd like a rub on my tummy.
Oh, you never go tummy.
Oh, he likes his tummy rubbed, our boy.
Really?
Does. Yeah, he likes it. He likes it. Every so often, you'll do it and you'll go, aha, I've caught you in my trap. Death is you.
Yeah, that's it. So stomach and paws. Yeah, fuck that.
Oh.
That's just a game you don't want to play. I don't like getting scratched.
He entices it and he'll go, ah, death to you now.
Yeah.
And then he'll do it. And then what he started doing is his legs will go mental and he'll start going, ah, I've got you now. And then he'll lick your hand after. As if I'm only kidding. It's all fine. Ah, I've got you. Death is only the beginning. God love him. I love that now on the Classic Raw review and the Classic Nitro review, it begins with an update on cats.
Yes.
We've got to all bring our cats in at some point and see if they can become friends.
There are dog owners out there just fucking shaking their heads.
I'm livid at how it's not Louis based talk, who is Jatkin's mental cat.
Yeah.
Oh, Louis's amazing. When we get together, we're all going to talk cats for a watch along. And Louis is just, he's just not right in the head. He just isn't. He walks into rooms, he doesn't meow, he shouts. He goes, ah! 4 a.m. Ah! He's great. Louis's sound. The cultaholic cat community is growing, and I'm a big fan of it. But look, we're here to talk about Nitro. That's why we're here. Or
yeah,
we could just do cats for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm happy with all. We're on October 16th, 1995. At the box office, Get Shorty still number one in the US. Apollo 13 still number one in the UK. That'll change next week. Yeah, he's hanging in there, isn't he? He's doing some good shit. Get Shorty is the new one, actually, because it was 7 last week. Now I remember.
It's America. They just kind of go, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. They change it every bloody week.
We'll have that.
Consumerists.
This week on the telly... Your consuming nightmare. After 25 years as the landlady of the Rover's Return, Coronation Street's Bette Lynch, aka Julie Goodyear, makes her final regular appearance. Leave the memories alone.
Bit before my time.
Oh, it's the end of Bette Lynch.
I mean, there were Betty in that. That's my era.
Oh, it's the end of Bette. Yeah, well, this was a big time in telly with Julie Goodyear going. She would, I think she'd make a return.
Rover's Return.
A Rover's Return. Meanwhile, on this day, October 16th, 1995, a license is awarded to Channel 5 Broadcasting Limited.
They should have never fucking allowed it. Yeah. Let me just get that out there now before Channel 5 comes in here with the guns and takes us both. They should never have given... No, Channel 5...
What's your malfunction with Channel 5?
Nobody had Channel 5 for like fucking years.
We had to have our TV VCR retuned.
There were like 3 masts in the entire country that would broadcast it. And then when you did get it, when it was like, it's now available in your area, it was one, snowy, because again, they just boosted the signal they had rather than getting it out. It just didn't seem like it ever got picked up anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, I mean, look at Channel 5. Look at the first 5 to 6 years of programming on Channel 5. It's not really improved now. I'm just a boring old arse now. I'm more than happy to watch, you know, railway journeys and everything. But as a kid, it was like new channel and it was like, oh my God, what's it going to have? Nothing.
Family Affair.
The Spice Girls doing the identity.
Channel 5, I genuinely thought as a kid, I was like, there's no way this is going to last. Mm. Like, there's no way. Like, they just didn't have the level of programming, I felt, to keep up with anybody else. And Channel 4 was just going from strength to strength to strength and really pushing the boundaries into, you know, different areas that maybe weren't okay on TV until Channel 4 really rocked up and started just going, eh, and doing them. But then Channel 5 just kind of came along like a wet fart. And it hung there like a wet fart for ages. And then slowly, it's evolved into this multi-channel. Like, Channel 5 is actually pretty solid now. It's got a lot of American import drama. It's got, like, just, you go on that on demand. I mean, they had, I don't know if they still do, they had WWE and Impact at one point together. The weekly recap episodes.
Oh.
You used to, like, Channel 5's just kind of grown into more and more and more and more. And it's been really fascinating to see them as somebody who really jumped on that. I think the kind of app side of things. They just seem to have a lot more to offer than quite a lot of the other
channels. But it's pertinent to mention Channel 5 because in 1999 they would pick up WCW Worldwide.
Yes, they would, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you're there going, get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
They
did. You should have had TNT so you watch Nitro properly. Maybe if they'd had your TNT money, not your Channel 5 free views.
That's true.
Maybe if they had the TNT money from you, they could have kept going. No, no, the thing is, yeah, it's. I think for me, more than anything, Channel 5 was just crap. But I wasn't aware, you know, until much later that Channel 5 had WCW rights because, we got Channel 5 super late.
Yeah, that's
because
it wasn't snowy.
It's not in your area. It's like, okay, well, what are we missing out on? Or kid from school just be like, Channel 5 is the best. It's like,
it wasn't that.
What's it got on it? Everything. No, it doesn't. 6 months' time is going to prove you a liar.
Somebody had to come round and fix our VCR so we could record Channel 5.
Yeah, there was all this sort of weird
so
stuff.
So much rigmarole. You know how lucky bands. We are now to go, like, literally, if Sam and I wanted to, we could start up a TV channel tomorrow.
I remember us getting Sky. Right, Sky Digital.
Big day. Man came up on the ladder.
Huge, right?
Put the dish up.
Put the dish up and you feel like a real family. It's a long last. But then I remember the jump to Sky Plus where it was like, shit, I don't even need to be in. Just record my shows and I'm going to go do my shit. See you later. I'm going to come back and watch it all at midnight. Oh my God. And now it's just kids being born into a world where it's like, you know, they'll never have that struggle of, I want to watch that movie, but there's only 48 million channels. And it's not on any of them. And
Sky.
I don't have the VHS. And now it's just people being born into a world where it's just everything. You can have everything you want.
Can I interest you in everything all of the time? Sky now is in the telly because Sky this year launched Sky Glass, which is a telly with Sky in. No dish, nothing.
Yeah.
Just plug it in. There's Sky. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. I'm not buying it because Sky now TV is far cheaper than Sky.
Yeah.
And it has the main stuff.
I'm just interested to see where it's going to end up. But it's been interesting to watch just purely from a media standpoint, just as an aside, before we crack on with Nitro. Because we really should crack on with Nitro. Also, free bonus burp for everybody here.
Yeah.
There you go. It's really fascinating to see how when we were like in our teens, I mean, guess when I was out in my teens and you were like kind of just a few years older than me, aren't you? So
42.
It's like, so it's like when we're,
in my
when
early
we're
40s.
Around our teens, though, piracy was really taken off because it was impossible to pay for anything as a kid. You had access to the internet and you didn't have any morals. So you just pirate everything. Then streaming comes in and it's like, fuck, this is so much easier than pirating. Everything's just on Netflix. Everything's on Prime. And if you have like three subscriptions, you've got everything.
Yeah.
And then everybody went, whoo-hoo, and saw money dollar signs.
Money dollars.
They saw money dollars in their eyes. And then now it's harder than ever to stream something. And now piracy's on the rise.
Because they've almost gone back.
Because
the other
everything's
way.
Gone into tiny little boxes again, and it's like just stick them on a platform, charge everybody £20 a month like it's a basic human right thing.
Yeah,
and done. Just give me all the TV without any of the hassle.
I mean, I put my hand up. It was
please.
Naughty, but obviously when the whole Napster thing started, I was there. When Napster was there and like Morpheus and LimeWire.
Original BitTorrent sites, Pirate Bay, man, like...
But when Spotify came along and said, if you give us £10 a month, you can have all the things,
nobody,
I went, sure, here you go.
Yeah, nobody told you it was wrong. And you kind of knew it was wrong, but nobody kind of really broke down how much it was affecting the industry. And when they did, we were like, look at Lars Ulrich crying. He's already got loads of money. It's like, no, it goes much further beyond that. Yeah. And, you know, you eventually learn that when you're a sensible adult. But yeah, it was amazing how quick and easy it was to just be like, oh, it's only a tenner a month to do that.
Yeah. But then even in doing that, it kind of demonetizes the business to an extent, doesn't it? It
fucks bands completely. Like Mastodon get complaints because it's like, oh, why is your t-shirt £55? And it's like, well, because none of you pay for an album.
We've got to find money somewhere.
We only make money on the road, and being on the road with crew costs a lot of money. So if you want a t-shirt, then it's 55 quid. I'm sorry.
That's it.
And it's like, you've got to feel for them, man. Like millions of views equates to pence.
I'm going to download a t-shirt. That'll
You'd never do that, Tom. You'd never do it.
You wouldn't download a t-shirt.
You certainly wouldn't download a car.
You wouldn't kick a gran. But you know, why would you pirate a video? Coming soon.
The best part of that is there's probably an automatic loom and now you can download a t-shirt.
Oh, that's true, actually.
That'd be awesome.
It is. In music news, in the past 7 days, Green Day have released Insomniac. Green Day man?
I'm not like as big a Green Day fan as Jack. I do very much love this era of Green Day though. Mm. And Insomniac didn't quite get the love I think it deserved at the time, but it's certainly grown into something that fans have appreciated more and more over time. But then, you know, you are following up one of the hardest opening acts ever as a band when the stratospheric launch of Dookie and what that did for that band is like huge. Yeah. So Insomniac was always going to have a bit of a hard time, but I feel like it's been appreciated more and more as time's gone on.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seed, Where the Wild Roses Grow.
Nice.
That came out in the last 7 days. And George Michael, Jesus to a Child.
God, like Jesus to a Child.
Yeah. All the hits, all the time. At this particular week in the wrestling world.
I just started looking wistfully at the camera. No. Like Jesus to a Child.
The ratings are in for last week. Nitro 2.6.
Nice.
Raw 2.6. Neck and neck again. Neck and neck again.
Was it not like 2.61 for Nitro, 2.60 for Raw?
Actually,
I'm just going to make up it was that. Hey, yeah. Raw, you shit.
You're shit, and you know you are. I think that comes unbelievable. Yeah. Look at me playing for both teams. I'll be on the Raw podcast this week going, Luger shit, and you know.
It's all right, because come 1999, you know the Simpsons episode where Bart goes to heckle Skinner at stand-up? He's just sat at the back, Seymour, like that. It's just that at Nitro. It's just one bloke at the back, and he's not even paid for his ticket, and there's two wrestlers just kind of going, ooh, and scuffling with each other in this cavernous room, and all you just hear is, Nitro. Nitro. Like that.
It's accurate. There I am. But at the same time.
If you all hate Hogan, all hate Hogan, all hate Hogan, clap your hands.
Shoes off if you hate Hogan. The Cable Guide adverts for World War III for the 26th of November, which is WCW's next pay-per-view, is listing, right, and this is, I'm quoting Dave Meltzer, lists the show as a three-ring, 60-man battle royal as the main event. Quote Dave, is that scary or what?
World War III is...
I mean, this is like the Rumble, but on roids.
It's the Rumble on fucking cocaine.
It's a coke
on
rumble.
A speedboat in Miami in the 80s perpetually, while on fire, while being speedballed into somebody's veins, while that person is like free-falling from a jet with no parachute.
You're not wrong.
Like, World War III... is such a fascinating concept. And as a kid, I was like, oh my God, three rings, 60 blokes. This is fucking insane. Look at it. It is the ugliest thing to look at all night.
Yeah.
It is the ugliest setup. It's so bad. It clears so much floor space. Who cleared that? How many ticket sales are you fucking missing out on? Premium floor seats.
You're losing ticket sales and hiring more people.
And deadening the entire momentum of the night.
Mm.
It's but at the same time, it's a spectacle that as a kid, I was like, I need to see it. And like begged for tapes. And then you get it eventually. And it's like, yeah. And then 2 years later, you're like, what is this shit?
It was the whole idea of it, I feel, was like they thought of it and went, we won't think any more about the logistics. That's well, what we're going to do.
We're going to get back there with the tiered cage, aren't we? So,
oh, gosh. So we will.
We're all 4 years off that. But we're getting there. Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
November looking interesting for WCW because they've got a nice working relationship with New Japan.
Yes.
And it's expected that Kinzuki Sasaki is going to win Sting's US title to build heat for a match at Starrcade in December.
Nice.
So Sasaki and Sting having a little thing.
WCW and New Japan kind of worked well together initially.
Mm.
Then I believe there's an instance where the junior heavyweight title is taken from Liger by like Psychosis or somebody, and it's just like changed hands without permission or something. And then Scott Norton's just coming out with like the IWGP title and just getting jobbed out in the first match, and it's like, oh my god, like how can you be so blind? Like TNA levels of blind.
They were very disrespectful to it, all, weren't they?
Yeah,
it was not a good look. The Sheik.
They're not going to watch it. No, of course, they're not going to watch their own talent overseas. Who the fuck thinks that they're going to do that?
But it's just. But what's interesting is, like, a lot of people make comparisons between WCW and AEW, and for obvious reasons. But then obviously the New Japan relationship is another thing you can kind of draw comparisons with. Yeah. And I think the difference being AEW is far more respectful of the heritage of New Japan than WCW was.
The 90s were a far less respectful time.
Yeah.
Like there was a war on, for goodness sake. And essentially, I don't, you know, it's just one of those things where I just figure the way that the American companies worked was just like, our shit comes first. And if they're going to bitch and moan about the fact that we're not putting any other belts on their talent or this or that or whatever, then fuck them. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like, you know, we don't need them, they need us, is what I think the mentality could get to. Not in like this situation, but just in general situations, like business situations like this. I'd just say that it almost feels like we start the 90s with companies having a lot of relationships. And then as we approach the middle of the 90s, that all kind of disappears.
Pretty much. The Sheik is pretty much a definite to be appearing in Sabu's corner at Halloween Havoc.
Nice.
So, I mean, I enjoy the discourse that Eric Bischoff had with Sabu, saying, oh, I really like the Sheik. I liked it when he used to fight Hogan.
Yeah.
And realised, wrong Sheik.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. Kind of the one mistake you don't make with Ed Fart. The original Sheik is he's not the fucking Iron Sheik. The Sheik will cut your nose off and feed it to you. The Sheik is Sabu's uncle, man. Like, the Sheik's Sabu's uncle, and he's terrifying. Like, you think Sabu's scary? Just go look at some Sheik stuff. Just go look at some Sheik stuff. Like, I swear, man, that guy is terrifying.
He is a horrifying man to watch wrestle, and just like
it's
intimidating.
So and it's so like it's so just you can't turn away from it.
No,
he's just captivated by it. With his prey at times. It's fascinating.
This week, Hulk Hogan received a Songwriters Award from the Society of European Stage for Authors and Composers
for the Society of Playing Bass for Metallica. What's going on now? What's he won an award for?
It was part of Country Music Week in Nashville. He won the award for his American-made entrance music.
That's not him!
It's billed as being written by Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Hart, and JJ Maguire.
Oh, my shitting Christ.
Hogan...
Fucking Jimmy Hart must have wrote that song.
This gets better, though, because Hulk Hogan wasn't at the show.
Of course he wasn't. Why would he be at a fucking awards ceremony he's nominated for?
But if only he was there, they might have checked the script they were given, in which they announced that the music that won the award, the song was played upon Hogan's entrance at every WWF event that Hulk Hogan attended. Saying Hogan does 3 to 5 WWF shows per week, drawing 20,000 fans every time. WWF.
Oh, could you imagine them just showing that clip live on Nitro or something in WWF? It'd be great, but I... come on, fucking songwriting credit. What? I bet you he went, it's got to get across the fact that I'm American-made. That's probably all he said. Or he probably went, can it have, like, a guitar solo in it? And he's gone, yes it can, Terry. Credit. Like,
Terry, we need a word that rhymes with veins. US of A. Close enough.
He wouldn't even say that. He'd just go, pythons. And they just kind of nod. I mean, going off the lyrics, it definitely feels like a five-year-old wrote it. So it could be Terry.
Could very well be. Big Tezza. So those are some of the highlights of a quiet week in the world of wrestling. We are live for Nitro this week.
It's a lyric in me. Fucking country music award.
Go Hogan.
I'm dead. That award has to exist somewhere. Can I buy it? Jimmy, like, have you got it?
Someone's got it in their office.
Somebody's got it.
JJ Maguire, have you got it?
I want it.
Maguire's got it, and he got it in a divorce settlement. We're live in Detroit. They've heavily papered the crowd, apparently. Anyone who buys a WCW calling card at the local 7-Eleven gets a free ringside ticket to the pay-per-view.
What?
For Halloween Havoc, apparently. For Detroit. They can't sell them.
So if you buy a WCW phone card, which is, I'm assuming, is just like your standard... there's people... If you are below the age of 30... and you grew up in a time where mobile phones were just always a thing. Now, there was a time when cellular phones and mobile telephones didn't exist. And so when you went on holiday, you had to use those strange boxes that you see everywhere that have like a landline in them. Weird, aren't they? You put money into them. But if you were overseas, the way it would work is it's just a lot easier to buy a card before you went or a card when you arrived. And what you would do instead of just carrying a shitload of loose change with you, because, I mean, it's the 90s and every single place you went, it was like, careful of pickpockets. And, you know, people would always be terrified of that. So you would go to like the local shop. I remember we go to Greece. So it was like a little convenience store. We go to a little convenience store. We'd buy a phone card. It would come with like £5 worth of credit on it or something. And then you just top it up. So you got kind of like put 20 quid on that. And then that would, every time you went to the phone, instead of putting in coins, you just put that in, take it out when you were done, and it saved the hassle of
you
putting
see, for
it in,
me,
and it kept the tariff correct for like the world call, and it give you like lower rates than using the phone itself.
I remember like a lot of the prepaid cards I got, they were, again, because I'm so old, it wasn't even a card that you swiped. You got the physical card, there was a number you rang on the back, and you had to... You had like, to dial it in. And there was an automated phone service. You put your 18-digit number in. And then you dialed the country and the... I can't think of anybody that I like enough to want to go to all that hassle of calling them while I'm on holiday. With the exception of maybe Alex. Maybe. Out of push,
I just think we should start just sacking off. Like, WCW doesn't get interesting for a bit. Let's just sack it all off. And let's just pretend that we're still doing it. Whenever Adam walks past, just be like, Malenko.
I love that idea. I heard them say Malenko. They must be doing the Nitro review.
Let's just turn this into, remember the 90s?
I mean, that's kind of ostensibly what this is.
Yeah. But
the Raw review is...
Talk about like... Just things like phone cards. I did not expect to be talking about phone cards.
But this
today.
Is.
But
this
phone
is
cards still exist as well. They still exist,
oh,
though.
Yeah, they
like,
still
you
do.
Go into most convenience stores, like in Newcastle, like most of the little corner shops and stuff, you'll still see like a mobile. You'll see like a few companies with their own little SIM card / phone card combined thing.
Well, this is. Okay, this is the thing, right? This is, and everyone that listens to the Classic Reviews gets this now. The Classic Raw Review is a chance for me and Jatkins to do our favourite Vic and Bob sketches.
Yeah.
The SmackDown Review is where me and Matthew practice stand-up material / write a sitcom.
Yeah.
And so this can be, we can just reflect on the 90s. Remember 90s things?
Remember 90s
ostensibly things. Talking
patent,
about 90s.
Patent carpets.
Oh, I mean, you've gone to most Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
They still very much exist.
That's it. Like, it
my nan had disgusting
people's houses looked like a dirty Weatherspoons. That was the 90s.
I've got to find a picture of my Nanny Rose's carpet. It was grim. It was grim, like circles that were all brown.
Artex. Oh, just
asbestos.
Awful. Oh, man.
Horse meat in pancakes.
Do you remember? I don't even know if these are still a thing. They probably are mobile units, but they wouldn't be anywhere near as shit as they used to be. Mobiles at school.
Oh,
it'd just be like a flimsy bit of wood on four sides with a window punched through it and a roof that would rattle off in the wind.
Is it where you'd have like a television on it? And they'd wheel it in so you could watch Batman Returns on the last day.
When say like a school room was under renovation or like when, oh shit, there's too many kids for the room.
Porter cabins!
Porter cabin type thing.
Yes!
But they were like one fucking layer of wood. And it was kind of like plastic joints just screwed together. And it's the wind literally would come in sometimes because my middle school was like on a hill, like halfway up this hill that was at the top of the valley. Like it was equal with the top of the other side of the valley. So the wind would come in and just go, and then up the hill. So it would just like straight up, it would just one side of the room would just constantly have the wind, like the wall, if it was windy, just kind of like leaning in. It was just like, like that.
Oh, were you not constantly terrified of being blown off?
I don't think we were stupid kids, man. I don't think that was possible.
Weren't asked, mate. Your memories of windy porta cabins, tweet them in. Thank you. But yeah, so basically, if you buy a calling card, WWE calling card, you get a free ringside ticket to Halloween Havoc.
That's fucking insanity. That feels very much like, you know, I can't even compare that to a... Like, because, you know, there
is
are...
Is it just the case they just want to make it as full as possible?
There are set techniques for papering, right? Mm. You call up, I mean, because again, in the 90s, radio was a thing that nearly every single person listened to at least once a day.
You are caller number 492.
Because you'd be in the car, you'd be on the way to school, you'd be somewhere, you know, you didn't have access to things like miniature CD players. You might have had a cassette player if you were younger, but you'd listen to the radio all the time. But like you would call up a radio station. You'd go, look, we got 200 seats. And that conglomerate will go, right, sweet, we'll pass it out to all our partner stations. And they've all got like 10 sets of tickets to give away. And then it's like, you know, you got to call in, all that stuff. Or you'd run a TV competition. Or you'd run we need to turn that back on.
Don't you worry,
we've gone far too long.
You're watching on the Patreon.
You would like maybe do a newspaper
we're
giveaway.
We're now doing the Samsung review.
WWF magazine giveaway. But they've got to have been doing that anyway. So it's like to give away ringside seats.
Ringside is the bit that gets
ringside seats to be given away. Like, oh my God, that blows my mind.
And like, yeah, that's the horrifying part. They must have been so nervous about not selling out.
Yeah.
That they had to do it that way. But this week's Nitro, we are live once again. Bischoff Mongo Heenan and Kemp the Love Dog, which is Mongo's dog dressed as an alien.
We're just little tin foil dealy boppers. It's the best. I love Pepe. I love him.
They're speculating on something that took place on WCW Pro this Saturday. So WCW Pro is about to be moved to Disney MGM Studios. It's a bit like AEW Dark.
Yeah.
This past Saturday on WCW Pro, Ric Flair asked Sting to be his tag team partner. Sting gives him the benefit of the doubt and agrees, but says, if you swerve me, I will leave you for dead.
Hold on, no. He says, if you swerve me, and then it fades. And then it fades back in. So he's like, if you swerve me, I will leave you for dead. Fade in between the pauses of the crowd pops.
Weirdly, weird energy to this one.
Because, of course, while Sting's trying to do it, Flair's just stood there going like, being Ric Flair and the crowd are popping for every little shudder.
Sting and Flair teaming up tonight, apparently, against Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman. And they don't make it clear, and I don't know either what happens leads to a rematch at the pay-per-view, or they're already having another match at the pay-per-view as well.
I can't quite work it out either because it's just been mixed messages. But the real takeaway they want you to know here is that Sting and Flair once partnered and that Sting and Flair worked well together, but it didn't really end amicably.
No.
And so it's sort of like, oh, are they going to be able to keep it together, those crazy kids?
We get a flashback to WCW Saturday night. Johnny B. Badd couldn't make it to his title match because of car trouble. It transpired that it was Diamond Dallas Page that had tampered with the car.
And we know he knows cars.
Yeah.
We know he knows cars because, you know, he drove the Cadillac at WrestleMania.
Exactly. Do you know how he gave the game away that he did it?
How?
So they had this promo and obviously the word had got out that Johnny B. Badd had car trouble and couldn't make it to the show.
Yeah.
And Paige and him are doing a promo together, and Paige says, I can't believe that four flat tires stopped you from getting your title match, to which Johnny B. Badd has a little light bulb go off. The exclamation from Metal Gear Solid appears, and he goes, I didn't say it was four flat tires! punches Paige in the face. Off to the races we go. Only Paige knew it was four flat tyres because he was the one what did the flattening.
It's humble beginnings for DDP though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, he was always so fun to watch, but then he just goes to the stratosphere. It's obscene how quick DDP, like, they capitalize on him when they realize what they've got with him. But they just, it's obscene how long he kind of languishes before it's like, make this guy a star.
And he was in, like, his late 30s at this point.
Yeah.
Which is always reassuring.
Until his 30s, man. Like, he's somebody to definitely look up to. He's like Ridley Scott. I don't think Ridley Scott directed Alien until he was like 42. Mm. Now, he'd had a successful career in advertising and shit beforehand, but I don't think he directed Alien until he was like 42.
Chris Miles didn't do Radio 1 until he was in his 30s.
And he killed it, ruined radio forever.
Late bloomers can prosper. Late bloomers can prosper. Please. So we get Diamond Dallas Page and Johnny B. Badd as our opening match of the evening. It's a grudge match. Page blasts Badd with the WCW TV title whilst his entrance animation was still inactive. Badd is out cold. DDP makes a cocky cover holding the Badd blaster. He counts his own three and on the three fires off the Badd blaster. Ref throws the whole match out. Disqualification. Johnny B.
Still
Badd wins.
The bell ring though.
Yeah,
the official still registers it.
Sometimes it's muscle memory, isn't it? Sometimes it's just muscle memory, and you just go, three.
Ding, ding. Oh, shit. Ding.
Unless the ref was just thinking timing-wise.
Yeah.
Just to go, wait for the three. Now I'll disqualify you. Which would be quite cute. Yeah, then Bischoff says, we'll be back with more great action. I think trying to convince himself. More than anything else.
I mean, everybody knows Hogan's on the way, right? That's what everybody's
Thank
worried
God.
About. That's what everybody's fretting about. How's his tash doing? Has it grown back? Mm. It's been 2 weeks now. Surely there's got to be some form of growth.
We only get pre-recorded comments from Hogan this week.
That's serious shit.
Ratings are kind of plummet.
Maybe he just couldn't bring himself to come into work.
He was very sad last week when everybody told him he was shit.
Maybe he finally realised, like, when his spray tan wore off, and he has this real tan underneath. He just realized he just has a massive white outline of like where his mustache should be. And so they were like, shit, you can't come in, Terry. You can't come in. We're going to have to, like, they try makeup.
So his
that
real skin
last week,
was burned.
Kind of worked last week, the makeup, but it didn't look that convincing. So what they did instead was they made him sit at home, of course, and he's been under a heat lamp this entire time, bless him. Just trying to really get that tan to come in. Sunblock around everything but the little white patch of mustache.
He only moved from the heat lamp to get a new crossword to do. That's apparently
the rumor.
He comes
in and he's accidentally fallen asleep and he's just got a red... Oh, I'd love that. Bischoff just looks at him and he's like, don't ask.
Oh, God, it's worse than ever. Right, we have got great action next.
Yes, we
Thank
do.
Thank God. It's Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit. What?
Yeah, and they go for it.
Benoit debuted last week and it felt like a big star had arrived. Getting out of a limo, looking up at the building.
Yeah, doing the line.
Doing the line with the big boys play. Of course, this is a great match.
Doing the line with the big boys.
Doing the line with the big boys. That's apparently that was quite common in WCW later in the years. These two mesh beautifully.
Oh yeah.
They warm up the crowd a bit chilled at the front.
It's like a hand in a glove. Like the crowd are pretty reserved.
Yeah.
And they're ready for a good time though. But they're not quite sure what to expect. You got two pretty small guys. This is the 90s, you know. Where's the muscle? Where's the big guys? And they come out here and they blow it away.
Gorgeous springboard tornado DDT from Eddie Guerrero gets an ooh from the crowd. A tightrope hurricane rana gets people to their feet, which is great to see. Benoit gets back into it. Sharp snap power bomb that gets a ooh!
Yeah, it gets an ooh. I imagine that sucked to take. Like, Eddie tucks his chin completely, but you still see his head just go, like, imagine this is kind of like an invisible barrier, this hand here.
That and hand
this is,
on
this
the
is
right.
This is the floor, this is Eddie. Eddie's got his head tucked, but he still just kind of goes...
It still bounces off.
It's like when he makes the pin, it may as well just be still doing that. It's like he just goes, whoomp, like Eddie just goes, whoop-ah!
Like the spring stopper on a door.
It's like proper, the impact hits his shoulder. It's not even like his head moving. It's like his shoulders are just going...
Looks pretty
just sheer impact.
the Guerrero tries to get into it using his injured right hand because Benoit's been wearing down the hand through against us. So in amongst all these flashy moves, there's some really nice psychology in there as well.
Which is, again, something Benoit would be known for. It's something that Angle would become known for. It's targeting the body part, telling a story, take away the thing that gives him his power.
Mm. And it worked perfectly because Guerrero was on the fight back here, punched Benoit with his bad hand. So as he takes a second to hold his bad hand in pain, Benoit spins around, full Nelson suplex, 1-2-3 debut win. Quality! Massive. Liquid wrestling!
Massive. They're getting across as well on commentary throughout. You know, he's the crippler. They call him the Canadian crippler. He's from Calgary. And Canadian crippler. And they're really trying to make a big deal of Benoit here. So they kind of achieve that over the comms to anybody who's kind of having their doubts about him. But then his in-ring work spoke for itself. And Eddie made him look like $1 million. And both guys look great.
Back on commentary, Eric Bischoff reveals that the WCW committee is considering establishing a cruiserweight division.
Never take off. What we need is an extra weight, like a super heavyweight division.
Oh, where all the beefiest of boys live. You just want a belt for John Tenta, don't you?
I want a belt for Tenta. I want a belt for Haystacks.
Tenta versus Haystacks.
Tenta versus...
Book it, you
Sorry,
cowards!
It'd be Loch Ness.
Sorry, Loch Ness in a bit. I can't wait to talk about Loch Ness. Giant Haystacks getting a run in WCW. I'm coming for you, Hogan!
Just being inexplicably Scottish. Without being Scottish.
No.
Loch Ness.
He's from Lancashire. I wonder why they went Loch Ness.
Loch Ness monster. They Britain. Probably looked at England and went, ah, shit, what have they got? Nothing. Scotland's got that water monster thing. That'll go do. For it.
It's a bit, I guess it's a bit like if you're an English promoter and you hire a guy from from New Jersey and you go, you're going to be a Southern cowboy.
Yeah, like it's sort of like, I don't know, because we've got like the lion, Wales has got the dragon, Scotland's got...
Unicorn,
but they've also got Nessie.
Yeah.
And that's it.
The family Ness was big on TV at this time. Mac Toop blows on his bagpipe.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hulk Hogan. Be like the Hulkster with your own authentic tearaway t-shirt, do-rag, and other official WCW Hulk Hogan merchandise. Call 1-800-4-WCW now or send for the new WCW catalog today.
Mean Gene plugs the hotline. Allegedly, a top WWF official is history. And one of their top superstars got set upon by a fan in a parking lot and got the short end of the stick. Hear about it on the WCW hotline. Do you know what these are related to?
No. Is one of them... Was this around the time Bruce got let go for the first time?
No. So this is Cowboy Bill Watts.
Who had, oh, Bill.
Who had joined the WWF, I believe... A week before,
yeah,
Vince had a big meeting with Bill Watts. There,
Watts said, walked in and went, "Can I bring Eric?" And they just went, "Get the fuck out."
Kind of. It's not. And that's not completely wrong.
Really?
So, Vince says this is Bill Watts. He's running the wrestling end of things a little bit more now. And Bill says, look, you know what? Don't worry about WCW. There's this deal going down with AOL and Time and Warner Media. And when they merge, they won't keep wrestling on their channel. Bill Watts said that in 1995. Look where we are. And they say, look, if anybody's worth salvaging from that company when it goes under, we'll probably get Booker T. Again, what he said in 1995. So Bill had an idea of, like, he wanted to run it a bit more of WWF as a bit more of an old school promotion. He had an idea of a few guys.
How Bill worked, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted a, he had a few people in mind that he wanted to push through who had that style. Vince disagreed on the majority of Bill's suggestions. So Bill went, you know what? Fuck this, I'm away. See you in a bit.
This is it. Like, Vince wasn't ever really going to allow somebody like Bill Watts to have complete say. Bill Watts is the type of guy that would keep faces and heels apart in real life. Yeah. You don't get caught traveling with each other. You don't get caught talking to each other. Mm. If two fans see you in a car park, hit each other. Like, this needs to be real. Mm. Like, it was, you know, Watts fully believed in that mentality, and it did work. It worked for so long in the South, and Vince was just all about, I mean, it's the famous phone call, right? Hey, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business. That's great, Ted. I'm in the entertainment business. And then he hung up the phone, and it's like, eh. Like, difference in mentalities, but it would have been interesting to see what Watts would have brought to the table, especially if he was able to convince them to hire somebody before WCW went under. Like, what would WCW look like toward the end of the 90s without Booker T?
Mm, exactly. Yeah. But they reckon, and I think it's more the fact that at that point they recognized, yeah, he's a guy. Yeah. He's good. The other incident, the top star beaten up in the parking lot, short end of the stick. We do a deep dive on this on the Classic Raw review, but we'll give you the cliff notes of it. This is Syracuse. So this is...
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. So Shawn Michaels, British Bulldog, and 1-2-3 Kid all go out to have a couple of somas and a few pints in Syracuse.
A couple of fistfuls.
I'm sorry, all of the somas and the pints in Syracuse. Whilst there, Shawn Michaels gets flirting on with a lady. Turns out it's one of the regulars' ex-partners. And they're all battered after a while. The bouncer encourages the wrestlers to leave because he can tell some of the locals are a little bit upset with how they're carrying themselves. They all get bundled into a car, being driven back to the hotel by the bouncer's wife. Before the car can leave the parking lot, these lads, who are the regulars, who are upset with Shawn Michaels and his Lothario ways, stand in front of the car, pull Shawn Michaels out of the car. He's off his tits on somas. He can do nothing. They kick fuck out of him. And one of the funniest parts of this all, right? They're all battered, whatever. Shawn Waltman, British Bulldog, and somebody else are in the back of the car at this point, right? And incidentally, the other person we don't know the identity of, but he was sat on the window side, as was Shawn Michaels, which means Bulldog was sat in the middle, which is a funny mental image when you really think about it, because he was massive
Bulldog
at this point.
Was apparently trying to get the seat under. So they're all kind of jostling.
Can't get me belt off.
Reading something, or like somebody saying that basically Bulldog was like trying to get his belt and trying to undo the thing, but by the time he got anywhere near getting out the car, it was all over. Yeah. But it's interesting that you went in there with a group of men because there are reports that Shawn just got punked out by one bloke. And it evolved into, oh, it was a Marine. Oh, it was a group of Marines. I fought off five of them, but one just got a dirty cheap shot on me.
10 came out, only one really kicked fuck out of him. A few got shots in at the end. But they'll obviously make it out
paid
like
good money to see somebody kick the fuck out of
Well,
sure that
a few were there, like, front row seats. other aspects of this story include...
He wouldn't even feel it. He'd just be like Homer, when he's boxing. Just like, boom, and he'd still just be stood there going, I'm not trying to bang your girlfriend. Bang. I'm just, swear to God, I'm not trying.
One of my favourite parts of this, among all the other things, is Shawn Waltman got out the car and started throwing, like, worked kung fu kicks. He did! Whilst off his tits on somas. So apparently he threw about two roundhouse kicks and fell over. Useless.
Can you fucking imagine? Shawn's just stood there, just trying to talk his way out of it, not reacting to any shots. And then you've got Bulldog in the back like this, trying to get out of the car. And then X-Pac's like, don't worry, Shawn, I'll save you. falls straight on his ass, cracks his head on the floor, and passes out. Like, what the fuck? Imagine Sean just going, oh, kid's got my back. And then, boom.
Fuck the lot of you. I'll take a drum in.
But yeah, however many people it was, Shawn Michaels got absolutely blown the fuck out here.
Yeah, he did. He ended up going to A&E, getting checked over, damaged to his orbital bone, damaged around in and around his eye.
And there were 600 ribs. Of them, I tell you. There was a whole platoon of them.
they grew over years. This would lead to the Click chewing out Bulldog and Sean Waltman for not protecting Sean. Bulldog, well, get out of the fucking car!
If you're gonna all have a moan, I heard Triple H didn't drink, so he was the driver. So where was he that night?
If
he was so sober and he was there, which he clearly was, if he was going to be there, knew that he's the guy that doesn't drink because he takes himself like super seriously and his health super seriously, then he should have been there in order to stop something like this happening. Because if Triple H got out there, it'd be pedigree, pedigree, pedigree. Fuck you, US Marines. And then they'd be like, oh my God, the government, look at that guy. He just punked out those Marines because, you know, they're always watching the Marines.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, fuck this, close the army down. And then Triple H would just be sent over to like deal with all the crises in the world. Can you imagine? Just like, oi, Saddam.
Oh, fuck, we've only just got rid of Inoki. Fuck me. Who's that now? Another wrestler.
They get rid of Inoki. He's just like, oh, thank fuck. And he's sat by his little pool in his imperial palace or whatever.
More wrestlers.
And then all you can hear on the hill coming over, even though it's years beforehand, is just boo doo doo, boo doo doo. 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 And he's like, like somebody turning to see The Undertaker on the stage.
I can't say how delighted John Paul Levesque would be to be compared to Antonio Inoki on this particular podcast.
It's
a dream come true.
It would be so fucking crazy just for out of warfare's perspective. Can you imagine if Saddam Hussein knew who Triple H was?
Time to play the game.
And he's like expecting America to like announce war. And then he just rocks up, answers the door, and it's like, Triple H. And then Triple H just beats the shit out of him, bundles him over his shoulder, and away they go in a fucking Black Hawk helicopter.
If you think I'm handing over the hostages, I've got two words
also,
for you.
He doesn't,
no, sir.
He doesn't get in the helicopter, of course, because he's a badass fucking 80s guy, even though he's, you know, from the 90s. And he's just on a long ass ladder, and he's just got Saddam over his shoulder the whole time. And Saddam keeps trying to say something. He's like, shut up.
That's a great visual.
He's like, put me down. He's like, okay. And they're like hanging over the ocean. He grabs him last second. He's like, you got to shut up.
You're so hunky.
This is it.
John, make
Hollywood.
That happen.
Hollywood, make it happen.
Make it happen, John. Vince McMahon's response to the Syracuse incident was with fury. Not because his top stars went and got off a load of drugs and a load of drink, but because they broke kayfabe, because heels were hanging out with baby faces, and because the wrestlers lost.
Yeah.
Vince was livid.
If you're going to be a pro wrestler in this time period, and you're going to be out drinking, and you're going to have somebody picking fights with you, you hear it all the time, like guys who are bigger, like especially, I know Sean's not exactly a huge 7 foot tall guy, but you hear it a lot from like guys who are built, guys who are bigger, that it's like, you know, people just pick fights on you. They want to try and push their luck.
Push the wrestlers.
And, you know, see what's going to happen. And with wrestlers, of course, it's like, oh, you're not as tough as you are on TV, which is why you got guys like Meng just biting a guy's nose off or pulling out the bottom row of his teeth and putting them back in his mouth, that kind of thing. Like, you got to kind of be able to stand up to that and be like, yeah, I'm every bit as tough as I say I'm on TV. Here's the proof. But you can't go too far, so you can't maim the guy. You just got to give him enough of an ass kicking to kind of prove your point. But then at the same time, Vince, if you don't want your heels and baby faces traveling together, fine them fine them some more, and then fine him.
Well, Bill Watts said, had he not left his position like the week
Bill
before,
Bill Watts would have fired him.
He'd have sacked him, yeah. He said that he'd have sacked them all.
Watts, it was the same for MSG. Watts was like, how did it get that far? They should not be dictating you, like dictating to you your booking. Like, if they're going to hold you over a barrel, fuck them.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, oh my God, how different it would have been.
God. Watts just sacking everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bill, Eric Watts went out and got drunk. Well,
that's just Eric blowing off some steam, bless him. He's still going to hold all five belts.
We dig a little deeper into that onto the classic Raw review, which you can get on the podcast feed right now. Back to Nitro. We have an interview with the Giant alongside the Taskmaster following their failed attempt to break into the building last week in hilarious fashion on the Giant's Monstruck. Taskmaster has warned everybody that he was evil, and Hogan created him. Shaving the mustache made Hogan truly evil. Like, the mustache was what kept the evil at bay.
Yes.
And now basically like an internet firewall. The mustache was McAfee.
It was a filter for all of the bad things that could ever possibly come out of Hulk Hogan's. No, we know it definitely doesn't filter.
It certainly wasn't. It
certainly doesn't filter things.
When they reinstalled it, it was clearly badly broken. It was broken.
Malfunction.
Sullivan warns Hogan that when he loses Halloween Havoc, the Hulkamaniacs will follow the Dungeon of Doom instead. Imagine fans being that fucking fickle.
Imagine the shit level of naming convention that would be. Because it would be the Dungeon of Doomiacs. You know it would. You know it would.
Oh. My Dungeon of Doomiacs. Giant said he's going to try and push Hogan and his monster truck off the roof of Cobo Hall at the pay-per-view.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, it is rather. Giant then puts his hand over Mean Gene's face just for a laugh.
Show you how big his hand is.
Just look how big my hand is.
Because if Mean Gene's got a pretty small head, yes. Right? Even by normal standards, if Mean Gene's got even a slightly smaller head, mm-hmm. and the Giant obviously has the largest hands in the world, so like he just sticks his whole hand over Mean Gene's face. You see yourself as about the size of Mean Gene. So if that hand is covering his entire face, mm-hmm. it's just a quick visual indicator to you to be like, fucking hell, big
He's
hands.
Fucking massive.
He's huge.
The crowd start chanting for Hogan, and you can very carefully, very, very, very delicately on the breeze hear the WCW head office breathe a sigh of relief. Because they're like, okay, he's back on site.
Oh, they want him. They want him. That's good.
We will hear
quickly.
We'll hear from Hogan on Saturday night.
Fire up those fresh Pasta Mania menus.
Hulk Hogan speaks on Saturday night, according to Bischoff, and we'll see Disco Inferno versus Alex Wright.
Of course.
I'm sure we've had that before.
Yeah.
Is it just the one they keep going back to?
Yeah.
Meng versus Jim Duggan up next. Disco Inferno interrupting entrances again. Fuck, Meng's coming out.
It's all right, Meng can't see him because Meng can't see anything because Meng's robe keeps getting in his eyes.
And that is the only reason why Meng doesn't literally rip
Disco
his
Inferno
bollocks off.
Disco Inferno wasn't turned into toothpaste. Just pink, fleshy toothpaste.
Bischoff says, this guy is making me cough up my toenails.
Yes.
Which is quite a line.
Bischoff just admitting to chewing on them their toenails.
Yeah, what a lovely guy.
Bit of toenail biting.
Yeah, Meng, let's just talk about Meng. So he walks out, doesn't beat up Disco Inferno, because he's wearing a mask / cape combo that I've never seen before.
He looks like the Executioner.
Yeah, this
it's
is
got
a
that
new
kind
look.
Of, you know, the Terry Gordy Executioner kind of eye slots. Mm-hmm. It's got kind of that, but it's like more Spider-Man-y. But at the same time, you know, he's in the Dungeon of Doom. He needs to have something spoopy going on. He can't just be coming out looking like a badass. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he's just kept coming out looking a bit like a badass. Give him the cape. Give him that kind of little bit of just visual difference. It's like a nice satiny, swirly black cape with some gold fringe. Looks just a little bit more evil. Does the job. Disco somehow doesn't get murdered. Everybody's a winner.
Bobby Heenan refers to Jim Duggan as he makes his way out to the ring as a 300-pound termite.
Yeah.
Which I really liked as a comparison. Get well soon, Duggan. We know he's been in the wars lately.
Yeah.
Meng and Duggan slugging it out immediately. Duggan dodges an elbow drop to get back into it. He takes his eye off the match, ends up getting a savate kick to the head before Meng drives the spike into Duggan's
right
neck.
Right into his neck, and then that's it. Duggan's out. Duggan's done.
Submission Duggan's win. Gone. Short, sharp affair for Hogan's mate. I like the golden spike from Meng.
Yeah.
Fun little bit, innit?
It's interesting.
It's a quite simple move.
In a time of flashy, kind of convoluted stuff starting to come through, everybody wants an iconic thing that's like a big, whoa! Mm. Just having a subdued just choke with like the spike element to it. It's just like sinister, isn't it?
It's nice. I like it. I like it a lot. Pre-recorded comments up next from Hulk Hogan. Once again, all in black. Black shirt, the lovely black lycra that we talked about last week. And a black neck brace.
And he's got Jimmy Hart cowering next to him.
Jimmy Hart
clutching the big gold, just like, ah!
He refers to his Hulkamaniacs as his Hulkamanioids.
Yes,
Hulkamanioids.
I was going to look something up on this because I was curious why he's just decided to start calling his fans Hulkamanioids.
Maybe he got, like, maybe he was too busy thinking about his hemorrhoids, which he refers to as Hulkamanioids.
I thought it might be... My Hulkamanioids are running wild today, brother. What you gonna do?
When you've got yellow trunks on and they're running wild on you.
Maybe that's why he's wearing black.
Yeah, that's it.
He's got bowel problems.
He's got a bleedy ass.
Oh, hucky bleeding. I thought it might have been a thing to do with... The only thing I was thinking of was maybe the Noid. Do you remember the Noid?
Yeah.
It was the Domino's Pizza mascot.
Freakazoid was like a kind of a put down, wasn't it?
Did Freakazoid come out around this time?
No, Freakazoid was like late 90s.
Ah, was it?
Sure, yeah. For sure.
Freakazoid.
I think so, anyway. Now I'm curious.
Freakazoid ran in 1995.
Really?
Yeah.
We always got shit so late over here, didn't
we? We did. But yeah, so it's first ran... Yeah. In September of 95. So only a month after this, Freakazoid was a big TV show. Maybe Hogan has seen it and gone, I could body slam Freakazoid. Well,
Freakazoid was a put down anyway from the 80s, I think. So he's probably just trying to try new things and he's you know, just being Hulk Hogan. But I would love it. I would love it if it was inspired by Freakazoid.
I would hope so. Or the Noid from the Domino's Pizza.
It depends how old his kids are, right? His kids might have been watching it. And he might have gone, I like that.
I'm going to start all a body slam him, brother. By wearing black, it does indeed confirm, apparently, that Hulk Hogan truly has evil in his soul, saying the giant has never met Hogan eye to eye. He's too tall. He doesn't realize, as the giant, that Hogan can, quote, stop an elephant in its tracks.
Yeah.
I need some evidence of this. He can also, and here we go again, this is week 3 or 4 in a row, make promoters drop to their knees and start crying because Hulkamania is more powerful than their stinking promotion and it's stupid and I don't miss Vince anyway because he's rubbish.
It's starting to feel like he's got a bit of remorse here.
Okay, now. Don't like you anyway, McMahon, you crap.
It's all right. Because
better here.
On Sunday night... The man becomes the monster, then the monster becomes the man.
Bitch, man, you're the real monster here.
I'm going to fucking kill a guy.
Prick.
And then he shoves Giant off the roof.
See that, Vince? That's you.
Vince is just like, sweet.
Keep on, brother.
Keep going, mate. Keep going. We'll pick you up nice and cheap.
Hogan has big things planned. Jimmy Hart is worried the plans are so severe, Hogan may never come back to the light.
Jimmy is clutching. Jimmy's really playing it up here. He's proper like holding the belt and shaking. Whenever Hogan has a little bit of an outburst, like when he's doing his promo, Hart's just like...
Hogan will press Giant over his head and bury him in the Motor City right next to his father, who I'm pretty sure is buried in Grenoble. But hey, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story.
No, do you not remember? Hogan body slammed him and then they just left him there.
Is that what it was? Stay there, mate. And then he died seconds later.
Why do you think the stage...
87 million people.
But why do you think the dome went out of business? They couldn't put anything else on. It was just there.
No one could move
it. They didn't move the ring. It's just that, you know. Eventually they just had to implode it and that was it.
30 seconds before the match started, Andre died. And we sold out the planet.
They just asked him to lie there. They were like, just stay there.
Holding a flower like in a cartoon. Yeah. Dark Side Hogan. I've rode Hogan a little bit over the past few weeks for being a bit of a shit baby face. I'm not against Dark Side Hogan.
No, I'm not really
quite
against
like the concept.
It's interesting, but people always kind of see it as the first stopping off point of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. It's like, yeah, kind of, but Hollywood Hulk Hogan doesn't come about until a little bit later on. Yeah. And Hollywood Hogan only comes about because the company doesn't really know who to make the third man, and Hogan kind of refused to go heel a couple of times to the point where, you know, Sullivan was even going like, he's going to back out of this, guys. Have a backup ready.
Yeah.
And Hogan's lawyers and everything were like, do you know how this will affect your revenue? And he backed out of it. And then he kind of saw that Hall and Nash were doing big numbers. And then he was like, shit, well, if I don't jump on the ground floor, this is somebody else's $1 million. And that's what happened there. But ultimately, some of the characteristics of Darker Hogan are kind of prevalent in Hollywood Hulk Hogan, even though Hollywood Hulk is more self-obsessed. All this talk of the promoters and stuff, like, that's very much something Hollywood Hogan would rant about, you know, where like you can picture him ranting about having more power than a promoter, that his like leaving of a company would kill it. Like, you can picture him doing that. So it's definitely, for a time where people weren't really ready for this, it's quite shocking to see Hogan in black, because he's been in red and yellow for his entire career for most people.
Yeah, and at least with this version, like, I know there was the reluctance for Hogan to go completely heel.
Yeah.
But with this, like, he's kind of got... He's in the heel camp.
He's, like, emotionally getting pulled. Yeah, so it's like he's gonna get taken out of the situation. You know, there's people there to save him, but he's going through some stuff.
Yeah, but I like it as a thing. Mm. Come to our main event of the evening. It is Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman versus Ric Flair and Sting. A tag team match set up on WCW Pro. Can Flair and Sting get along? Can they coexist? I
tell you, they can't for the first 5 minutes of the match because Sting doesn't bastard show
up. Well, that's it. Flair turns up, Sting doesn't.
Yeah, after Sting had given him all this shit, being like, how do I know you're not going to betray me? Out comes Flair, and then the commentary are like, oh, well, Sting will be getting his own entrance because, you know, Ric Flair needs his own entrance. And it's Ric Flair, and everybody wants to cheer for Ric Flair. And then Sting just doesn't come out. Flair gets the shit kicked out of him. It's brilliant.
Heenan says that Heenan and Bischoff both say, oh, Sting saw sense and chose not to turn up. And now this is it, because the commentators here are very much in the camp of, oh, Sting's not turned up. Good on him. Flair's a cunt. Good on him. And like, they're really like anti-Flair at this point. Like, and Sting's seen the better idea. And I know you say like he gets the shit kicked out of him, and he does for a bit.
Oh, but he fights back.
Oh yeah,
Marley and underdog Ric Flair is just a massive, massive thing for an audience.
Hanging in there. This has been like a weird phantom face turn, because like a full brawl, it felt like Flair was the heel to Anderson's face.
Yeah,
and they kind of in midair have switched this now, so Flair's the face and Arn Anderson's the heel.
Yeah.
Which was quite intriguing. Sting finally appears after the longest of times, makes the hot tag to a weary Flair. He runs wild. Heels take a powder at this point after a bit of battering, and then Flair and Sting win by count out, and it's announced that they'll do it again at Halloween Havoc. Sunday.
If they'll do a fucking count out again, because they seem to have been doing it every week so far.
They
so.
Like a good count out, don't they?
No, it's like nice, and it continues over into the after-match interview when we come back to the ring. You know, Sting is like, I was just testing you. I was just testing you, buddy. I was sitting backstage and I was watching, and I was always going to come out, but I was watching you and the heart that you showed, and Flair's just kind of like nodding and smiling like, oh, I'm going to be a baby face. You know, he knows what's coming. But you've got that kind of, it's weird because Sting is actually a massive dick in this situation. But at the same time, it's like Flair's had to prove himself to Sting that Sting could trust him by turning up in the first place. And so Sting came out and returned the favor.
The chemistry's really weird all around, because you've got Sting, as you say, being a dick and letting Flair fight. You've got Flair, who has gone from sort of this chicken shit heel to brave, triumphant babyface. And the commentators, I'll mention them again, because the commentators are just so down on the Sting and Flair combo. And they're saying how they're against the idea, how Sting's an idiot for teaming with Flair.
Those guys could be like straight up in the middle of a really impressive sequence or segment, or in the middle of an emotional promo. But you know for a fact it's just going to be like, you know, they'll be cutting over to, and here's Hulk Hogan with, and it's just, they never really seem to give this stuff breath when it's not about Hogan.
No, it's almost like a half-hearted afterthought because it's not about Hogan.
It's like, well, that's really nice, Sting, but first the man becomes the monster. The monster becomes the man. It's all very 90s buzzword, fast, 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 and then usually a little bit, as we've said before, a little bit of a lie of, oh, well, when we come back, we're going to find out from this guy what
adverts, and that's all the time we got, folks. See you later.
And that, yeah, that is.
They force you to watch 5 minutes of adverts for nothing.
Just to kind of, but that was that weird time, wasn't there, where like the next show would bleed straight in from the last show in America. Well, they just have, they still do that in America, don't they? Where the last show bleeds across. It's an interesting concept.
Adverts are on the diagonal.
That's it. Next week, it's Sting and Luger versus Harlem Heat. We've got Benoit and Malenko versus Alex Wright and Eddie Guerrero.
Nice.
More importantly, Hogan live. Hogan's here. Hogan's next week.
When's Al Crow turning up?
With any luck, any fucking time soon.
Throwing his shit off the...
What does everybody want? Some of my shit in your eye. There you go. Have it. Al Crow. Listen to last week's one to get Al Crow.
Just balling it up.
Fucking hell. Just putting it
down. Just... taking another handful. Just spraying
it. Getting a grand a week for this. Someone had a great idea.
Oh, I didn't think it was this episode. People would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That was last week. That was Al Crow. Should have heard it last week. You get rewarded for continuously listening, like badges in Pokemon.
Yeah.
Interesting week.
Yeah.
Interesting week. In terms of in-ring standout stuff, it was Guerrero.
Benoit. All about that.
It was like by a clear 300 miles.
Yeah.
The greatest stuff in ring.
But that's the future. That's the future of the industry. People just aren't aware of it yet.
Yeah. And they're warming to
these
it
slowly. Matches eventually lead to things like AEW. Mm. Like the type of matches that you see in AEW. Like the really high work rate stuff. It's all from these guys. So like these, I mean, obviously it came from people before them, but these were the first to kind of do it for a promotion on this scale in America on TV.
Yes.
And like that's where word starts to kind of spread and it starts being like, shit, these guys are really cool. So
Next week it is the go home show for Halloween Havoc. Go home, you're drunk, Halloween Havoc. We'll see you for that one until we're together again. He is at Les Defined on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together we're at Gold Harlock on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Back in a moment.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.